Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The New AI Cold War Liberty Vs. Tyranny in the Age of Machine Empires by LTC. Robert Magnus is a nonfiction work on artificial intelligence, geopolitics, national security, and Christian ethical discernment. The book treats AI not simply as a commercial innovation or productivity tool, but as a strategic force that can reorganize state power, social control, warfare, labor, and moral authority. Its central concern is the contest between democratic societies that claim to protect liberty and authoritarian regimes that use digital systems to monitor, twill, manipulate, and discipline populations. McGinnis frames this competition as a new Cold War, with China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, and other actors representing different models of machine-enabled coercion. The book also turns inward, asking whether the United States could imitate the control architecture it opposes. Its distinctive purpose is to connect security analysis with a faith-informed warning about human judgment, conscience, accountability, and the risks of technological idolatry. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, AI as the organizing force of a new geopolitical Cold War. McGinnis presents artificial intelligence as a defining instrument of state competition rather than a neutral technological upgrade. In this framing, the new Cold War is not only about military strength, economic productivity, or control of supply chains, although all of those matter. It is also about which political model will shape the rules of machine intelligence. Authoritarian governments can use AI to strengthen centralized command, predict dissent, automate censorship, and integrate security services with everyday life. Democratic governments, by contrast, face the harder task of using AI effectively without weakening constitutional limits, due process, privacy, and public accountability. The book's liberty versus tyranny structure gives the subject moral and political clarity, but it also raises a practical strategic point. Technology does not determine outcomes by itself. The same classes of tools that can improve medicine, logistics, intelligence analysis, or infrastructure can also scale coercion. The decisive issue is the governing framework around them. McGinnis, therefore, treats AI leadership as inseparable from political philosophy. Winning the AI race, in his view, cannot mean merely having better systems. It must also mean preserving the form of civilization those systems are supposed to defend. Secondly, machine states and the export of authoritarian digital governance. A major part of the book examines what McGinnis describes as machine states, regimes that fold AI into surveillance, policing, information control, military planning, and economic management. China receives special attention because of its large-scale integration of facial recognition, data collection, social monitoring, and state-directed technological development. Russia is associated with cyber operations, disinformation, and information warfare, while Iran and North Korea appear as part of a wider ecosystem of hostile or repressive technology use. The book's point is not merely that these governments possess advanced tools, but that they treat digital systems as instruments of regime durability. AI can help identify patterns of behavior, suppress opposition before it becomes politically dangerous, and flood public discourse with manipulated or synthetic content. McGinnis also emphasizes that authoritarian AI models are not confined within national borders. Through technology exports, infrastructure partnerships, and security assistance, digital governance practices can spread to developing states and politically unstable regions. This makes the AI contest global in two senses. Great powers compete for advantage, and weaker states may adopt imported systems that reshape their own institutions. The book, therefore, links AI policy to international order, not just domestic innovation. Thirdly, surveillance, censorship, deepfakes, and autonomous force as tools of tyranny. The book devotes significant attention to the mechanisms through which AI can become a practical tool of coercion. Surveillance systems can combine cameras, biometric identification, location data, and predictive analytics to make citizens visible to the state in unprecedented detail. Algorithmic censorship can work faster and more subtly than traditional suppression because it can demote, filter, or reshape information flows without obvious public acts of banning. Synthetic deception, including deepfakes and automated propaganda, threatens the conditions needed for democratic judgment by making it harder to distinguish authentic evidence from manufactured persuasion. AI-driven warfare adds another layer of concern, especially when drones, targeting systems, and battlefield autonomy compress the time available for human decision-making. McGinnis's analysis stresses that the danger lies in scale and opacity. A human censor, propagandist, or security officer can act unjustly, or PM, but AI systems can apply unjust patterns across millions of interactions while hiding responsibility behind technical complexity. This is why the book repeatedly returns to accountability. is citizens cannot know how decisions are made, challenge automated conclusions, or identify who is responsible. Political power migrates from visible institutions to systems that are difficult to contest. Fourthly, America's risk of defeating adversaries by copying their control architecture. One of the book's more important domestic arguments is that the United States could compromise its own political character while trying to compete with authoritarian AI powers. McGinnis does not deny the need for American technological strength, military modernization, or coordinated national strategy. His concern is that fear of falling behind may push policymakers and corporations toward centralized data systems, opaque automated decision-making, and security rationales that erode civil liberties. The problem is not only foreign influence but internal temptation. In a long strategic race, a free society may decide that surveillance, speech management, predictive policing, or technocratic governance are necessary for efficiency and security. The book argues that this would be a hollow victory because the country would preserve power while weakening the principles that justify that power. McGinnis also points to corporate influence and digital sovereignty as central issues. AI infrastructure is often built by private firms, yet its effects can shape public life, access to information, and government capacity. This blurs the line between market innovation and political authority. The book, therefore, calls for rules that protect human oversight, constitutional accountability, free expression, and transparent governance before machine systems become too embedded to reform. Lastly, Christian discernment against technological idolatry and delegated conscience, the book's final distinctive dimension, is its Christian moral framework. McGinnis warns that AI can become more than a tool when people begin treating machine outputs as substitutes for wisdom, conscience, pastoral care, education, or moral responsibility. From this perspective, the danger is not only external tyranny but also internal dependence. If students rely on AI to think for them, citizens rely on algorithms to decide what is true, or believers rely on machine-generated counsel for spiritual judgment, human capacities can weaken. The book argues that AI has no soul, conscience, or biblical worldview, so its advice must be tested rather than passively accepted. This does not mean rejecting all AI. McGinnis acknowledges beneficial uses in areas such as healthcare, finance, logistics, and analysis when systems remain subordinate to human judgment. His concern is idolatry in a broad sense, assigning ultimate trust to created technology and to the elites who design, train, and govern it. For churches and Christian readers, the practical implication is preparation. Communities must teach discernment, preserve habits of embodied fellowship and moral reasoning, and resist systems that redefine human dignity according to efficiency, data profiles, or ideological control. In conclusion, the new AI Cold War is best suited for readers who want a security-centered and morally explicit account of artificial intelligence. Policymakers, military professionals, technology governance specialists, pastors, Christian educators, and citizens concerned about civil liberties will find its central framework useful. Even if they do not share every theological assumption, its practical benefit is that it connects issues often discussed separately: great power rivalry, surveillance capitalism, authoritarian statecraft, automated warfare, free speech, and spiritual formation. And readers can use the book to think more clearly about why AI governance is not only a technical or economic question, but also a question of constitutional order and human responsibility. Compared with many books on AI, McGinnis's work stands out because it combines national security analysis with a Christian critique of delegated conscience and technological idolatry. It is less a technical manual than a strategic and ethical warning. Readers looking for detailed engineering explanations or narrowly designed policy blueprints may find it broader than expected. Its strength lies in synthesis. It shows how the same machine systems that promise efficiency can also reorganize power. The book's most distinctive contribution is its insistence that a society can win technological competition and still lose the moral and political foundations that make victory worth having. If you would like to support LTC, Robert Magnus, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.